So we're reading today from John 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the truth in the scriptures. Thank you for time to be together and to receive from you. Would you open our ears to hear what you want to say to us today? And would you bless Tim as he speaks to us? Amen.
One, two. Ah, I muted myself. That wasn't very good, was it? Morning, everyone. Great to see you. Who's expectant this morning? A couple of us. Okay. We're continuing our series in the Apostles' Creed, where we've been looking at these amazing kind of big picture doctrinal truths about who God is, what Christ has done for us. But as this creed goes on, the kind of shift, the focus of it kind of shifts to the question of how can we actually know and follow God in our lives? How can we have an expectation that is huge because of what God has done here, what we've been looking at, what God is actually going to do in my life? I can expect much. And that's what this next part that begins, I believe, in the Holy Spirit is all about. It's how do we have a living relationship with God? How do we have a church that's alive and well, where we operate as family? How do we face the biggest challenges that come in our lives? That's going to be these coming weeks. And those are vital questions, because being a Christian isn't just saying, well, on a Sunday, yeah, I really believe these doctrinal truths. And then on a Monday, you just kind of carry on living your normal life. Now, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. These truths are intended to bring radical change in our lives, where we experience God's presence and power in increasing measure as we go on in our walk with Him. I wonder, is that your experience? You know, for many, it isn't. Do you ever feel frustrated? You know, you kind of long for more of God than what you see. Do you ever get frustrated at your kind of lack of holiness or your the lack of kind of impact in the world? I know I do sometimes. You know, sadly, what seems to happen for many Christians is that they find themselves having to look kind of deep into their distant past to remember the times they have felt closest to God and seen God most at work. Is that what should happen as we mature as Christians? Do we get less joy, less passion, less power? No, we say no, even though sometimes that's our experience. We say no because it doesn't fit with what we read in the Bible. And we have this, in our reading, this amazing invitation for thirsty people to experience. Look, verse 38, streams of living water flowing from within us. So here's my question, does that describe your life? Would your life be described as one where there's streams of living water flowing from within you? Is what Jesus offering for real? You know, do you actually feel, rather than that, do you actually perhaps feel dry? Kind of thirsty, hungry. Why do we get like that? It brings us back to last week's question. You know, if the message of Jesus is true, why are we not more changed than we are? You know, the answer isn't simply that we are waiting for Jesus' return, which we are. We're actually expecting, the Bible says, to be transformed now. So why is it that some people seem to experience so much transformation while others so little? Why do we have times in our lives where we see to see God do so much and we feel so close to him, and we have other times where God feels so distant? Why is it that in some places in our world, it seems like the church is alive with miracles and God at work and people coming to faith, while in other places, particularly in the West, it's like the stream isn't flowing nearly as fast? Why is there so much difference between what we see in the Bible and the power of the early church and what we so often see in our own churches and in our everyday lives? The answer is all to do with the Holy Spirit. Today is about who he is, what he does, and how we make sure we don't, in the words of the Bible, quench or grieve the Spirit of God, but instead are filled and overflowing. I was really struck by something that an American pastor, John Piper, wrote years ago. He pictures the church as a kind of great army asleep on the ground, with mighty weapons kind of just limply in their hands, armor all around, and the enemy just working and having a field day. And he asked, what would it take for the church to awaken and see all that's theirs in Christ, would take up its authority and its power, and not just kind of withstand the attacks of the enemy, but actually go and rescue those who are trapped and captured and bring people to freedom? There is only one power that can do that. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for today has simply been that something more of that power would be released in my life, in your life, and in our church. So I just want to ask you just to maybe even just pray that, if you want to. Just even before we go on in this message, just, Lord, you come and release more of your power in my life. If that's what you want, just ask the Lord, just in your own heart. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, it happens, Jesus says, as we drink living water. Drink living water. What are you drinking at the moment? What are you drinking? Jesus says, verse 37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. He is acknowledging that we tend to get thirsty in life, but we also tend to go to the wrong places to drink. And the world is full of offers of places to drink. Buy this stuff, get this experience, achieve that thing. Indulge that appetite, take that extra holiday, earn that money, play that game, drink, drink, drink. And you might think, wait, isn't that just normal life? Isn't that just kind of Western consumer life? Eat, sleep, work, play as much as possible, repeat. That's my life. Isn't that okay? Well, it kind of, until you think about the real thirsts that we have in our souls, in our hearts. See, we have bigger thirsts. We long for real love. We long for true acceptance. We long for genuine hope, deep comfort, for real joy, for perfect peace, not just in our lives, but in those that we love and our world that is so needy. And Jesus says, come to him, because he knows there's no way those other things can even touch those deeper thirsts. At best, they distract us and keep us busy. By contrast, he says, verse 38, if we believe in him, we will have streams of living water flowing from within. And this would have been such a powerful image as he said it. You know, most of the Bible is written in the Middle East. In the Middle East, there's a lot of what? Desert. Loads of desert. Desert upon desert. And, you know, water is the number one need. If a town has water, it thrives. If it doesn't, or it dries up, it dies. Everything depends on water. Water means life. And living water was the rarest of things because it was fresh, running water. Kind of an endless supply of water that could bring life. And Jesus is talking here about a greater fullness of life that he wants to bring to people. Life as it was meant to be. So what is this water that can meet our deepest thirst? Well, again, Jesus tells us, verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would later receive. We need to receive the Spirit of God. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible's clear that the Spirit is none other than God himself. The Spirit is no less God than God the Father or God the Son. We see the Spirit at the beginning of time hovering over the waters, there at creation. They're working throughout history. You know, we worship the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is so important. The Spirit is not a force that we invoke. Okay? It's not like a transactional kind of thing going on there. The Spirit is a person that we relate to. So we are called to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, or keep in step with the Spirit. John 14, 16, Jesus says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And that word counselor, that's in the Greek parakletos, gets translated in tons of different ways because it's such a rich word. So it's translated as helper or advocate or one who intercedes or consoles or comforter. And what's the point? The point is that this is one who is just like Jesus, but is actually going to be in us. You know, Jesus says, John 16, 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. This is the spiritual presence of God, not just alongside us or far off, but actually in us. You know, it's through the Spirit that our deepest thirsts are met. That's where we find love and joy and peace. Those things we were singing about, they're the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. It's no coincidence that Jesus actually makes this invitation. Do you notice when he's making it? Verse 37. He's making it on the day of the festival, which is the Festival of Tabernacles. You know, this feast was all about remembering God's supernatural provision and presence for his people, particularly in their 40 years wandering in the desert. It was also the feast where, when Solomon's temple, if you know the story, was dedicated, the glory of God, the presence of God comes in extraordinary power so that no one can move. So that's what this feast is all about. It's about the presence of God coming. But what they would do at this feast is they would say, thank you, God, for your provision in the past. And they'd say, Lord, we're longing, we're waiting for when the Spirit that we see in particular times and particular places will be poured out on all people, because that's the promise in the Old Testament. It's just one of them. Ezekiel 36 says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. But John says something strange. He says, up until this point, the Spirit had not been given. And it's strange because, you know, the Spirit at this point was distant. The kind of confined particularly to the temple of God, the tabernacle. So if you know anything about that in the Old Testament, that the temple was the place where heaven touched earth. It's where God's presence would come. But you couldn't come in to the holy place, to where the Spirit was residing. But Jesus says, and the Bible says, one day, that heaven-touching earth place is not going to be confined to this temple here. It's going to be in every person. We're going to become temples of the Holy Spirit. And you think, well, that sounds great. Why did he wait? Why wait? Why not give the Spirit before? Well, again, Jesus tells us, verse 39, look what he says. The Spirit has not been given because Jesus has not yet been what? Glorified. Glorified. That's a reference to Jesus' death, his resurrection, his ascension. And you think, well, why did that have to happen? Well, here's, we must remember, we can only receive the Spirit of God if we are made ready for the Spirit. The Spirit would only come to a holy temple. We need to be ourselves holy temples. And the truth is, we can only be made holy by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if you believe in Jesus, Jesus said that's what's happened. If you're a Christian today, this is true of you, what I'm about to read. So in 1 Corinthians 6, we read this about Christians. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amazing truths. And then he writes this as way by application a few verses later. He says, do you not know that your bodies are now temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. You see, the Corinthian church were in danger of grieving the Spirit because of the way they were living. Drinking the wrong things, sexually promiscuous, greedy, selfish lies, forgetting that sin is so serious that it required the death of Christ on their behalf. There is grace, but it was not cheap grace. And fullness of the Spirit is not guaranteed for Christians. Every Christian has the Spirit, but not everyone is full. D.L. Moody writes this. Says, if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and self-seeking and pleasure and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We are already full of something else. Before we pray for God to fill us, we ought to pray for him to empty us. I wonder if you could take a moment. Say, God, Lord, show me the things that I need to be emptied of. Just pray to God. If you're serious about being filled, that prayer before. Just say, God, where do I need emptying? Just take a moment to do that. Lord, show us the things that we need emptying of today so that we can be filled. you know, if we're full of the wrong things, if we're drinking the wrong stuff, the wrong places, we cannot receive what we've been made for. And we cannot do what we've been made to do, which isn't just to drink living water, but our calling is to share living water. Notice verse 38. What is the living water doing? Streams of living water will what? Anyone? It's flowing. Yeah? It's flowing. The whole purpose of this stream, this drinking, isn't just to fill ourselves, it's to meet the desperate needs of those around us. This is vital if you want a spirit-filled life. The Spirit doesn't come and fill us just for our own sake. In Ezekiel 47, we find the prophecy that Jesus is referring to when he makes this offer. We see there a river pictured flowing from the temple, from this heaven-touching earth place. And it's an amazing picture. Take some time to read it sometime this week. It's this river that just gets deeper and deeper and wider and wider. And everywhere the river goes, verse 9 says, where the river flows, everything lives. Brings life to everything and everyone. The desert changes to a place of springs. And that is our calling. To bring life where there isn't life. To have a ministry and a life that looks like Jesus. Because when we are full of the Spirit, we are actually bringing the presence of Jesus to people. It's an amazing thing. And so Jesus says this about what it is to have the Spirit of God. He says this in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Our calling is to continue the ministry of Jesus. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 12, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. The greater things at least refer to the fact that many more lives will be touched through the work of Jesus through his Spirit than could possibly be touched by Jesus confined to one place and one time in his earthly ministry. This is why the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to fulfill this calling, to build up the church, to help us go out and bring life to others. Tom Wright says, the task of the church cannot be attempted without the Holy Spirit. And yet we've often tried, haven't we? The church has often tried. We've often done this in our own lives. Tried to do things with techniques of the world rather than seek the presence and power of God. And we don't have time to go into all the gifts of the Spirit. There are many. But we are told in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And there are many gifts. So people speak in tongues, they prophesy, they have words of knowledge, gifts of healing, gifts of leadership and administration and evangelism. There are gifts for everyone in his church. You might be aware of your gifts. You might not. You might be able to receive even today a new gift. You know, God is so good, so generous. He loves to give his church gifts so that together we can make a profound difference in our world. That's what your workplace needs. It's what your family needs, your neighborhood needs. Not just you, but Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. You know, one of the reasons the church sometimes sleep I think, is partly because we don't really believe God would be so generous. It's like, oh, why would God use me? How could God use me? We haven't grasped how vast is the grace and love of God. And that's one of the first things the Spirit comes to do, to reveal to us who we are now we're Christians, if you're a Christian. So in Romans 8:15-16, it says this: the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Maybe you're living in fear at the moment. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's like the Spirit advocates to us. Say, no, what Christ has done for you is complete. It's finished. You are washed. You are sanctified. You're a child of God. And God wants to use you, every one of us, to bless his church and to reach the world. How do we receive? Jesus says, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, will receive. So we receive based on belief. On faith in Christ and the promises in the Word of God. Every Christian has the Spirit. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today and ask for God's Spirit to come. Trust in Jesus, what he's done for you. Every Christian has the Spirit, but not every Christian is full of the Spirit. That's why it says in Ephesians, be filled. Don't get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. I wonder, are you seeking the filling of the Spirit? Not just when you come on a Sunday, but on Monday morning, Tuesday, are you seeking the power of the Spirit in the life of your marriage or your family or your workplace or the friends you're seeking to bless and reach? Jesus invites us to ask. He says this in Luke 11. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. And it's like he knows we're unlikely to believe this. So he says it again. For everyone who asks, what happens? They receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will, not might, will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, the Apostles' Creed is all about believing and then stepping out and acting on that belief. To receive, we have to believe and we have to ask. You know, the church may be asleep kind of sometimes, but it can awaken at any moment. There are gifts and armor and spiritual weapons ready to be taken up. Not that we might just have something for ourselves, but the church might become the blessing that it's intended to be in the world, that might start to look a little bit like the Jesus that we follow, because we are full of the Spirit of Jesus. I know when I think about that, I think, oh Lord, please, I need more of you. You know, John the Baptist famously said, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. And I'm so aware of that in my life. We're going to take some time now to pray and to ask God. And Maybe today you feel dry and you long for that fresh filling. You don't have to ask, but I want to encourage you to ask. We're going to have prayer team people out, hopefully. If you're part of the prayer team, please come out in a few minutes. You can pray with someone, perhaps, who you're sitting near. You see, one of the things happening in Acts, we haven't got time to do a study in Acts, but one of the things that seems to happen in Acts is that Spirit comes as people lay hands on them. So you can come and say, Lord, just could you pray for the Lord to fill me with his Spirit? You know, I think one of the things that sometimes happens for Christians is that we get to this point, it's almost like, you know, that image of what are you drinking? And we see the bottle. You imagine a bottle, it says Jesus on it. Yeah? It's like, oh, that's the thing I need to drink. And then we read the ingredients. It's like, oh, wow, that is really good. Oh, there's that in Jesus, that in Jesus, that. It's really excited about ingredients. And that's brilliant to be excited about the ingredients that's in Jesus and what he's done for us. It's brilliant. That's exactly what we should do. But if we don't pick up the bottle and drink, we miss the whole reason Jesus came. And I think one of the things that God wants to do today is for us to just pick up that bottle that is Jesus, that is his Spirit. Say, come and help me to drink. Let me learn to drink from you. Not just today, but every day. I would know what it is to seek your presence. Someone phoned me on Monday, one of our members who's moved away, and she said, I'm in such a dark place. I'm finding life so hard, so difficult. I feel so far from God. And I just simply prayed with her, read some scripture with her, and prayed for her over the phone. And the next day she texted me and said, it's amazing, I have been completely refreshed in God's love. It's like the clouds has lifted and her circumstances are cloudy. And God met with her. And I believe God wants to do that to us today. He wants to meet with us that we might be full and overflowing. So should we pray? Let's pray together. I just want to firstly pray for those who just need to believe. You need faith to rise. And if this is a prayer for you, I want you to take a little step of faith, which is to stand up if you're able. If you're not able to stand up, you can just raise your hand. I just want to, if you're like, it just feels like it's too distant in the past that I felt closest to God. I want to know God as I have or even more so. Just stand up now. I'm just going to pray for you. You don't have to, but if you'd like to. Yeah, there's quite a few people standing. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray for those of us who need faith restored. Lord, for those of us whose spiritual highs are kind of too long ago, and we long to taste again what we've tasted in the past. Lord, I thank you that you're good. Lord, would faith rise in our hearts? Lord, would faith rise particularly in the hearts of those who are standing right now? Lord, that they would know that you love them, that you are for them, that you have more for them. Lord, restore unto them the joy of your salvation, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. So we're just going to have some time now to wait on the Lord. Just, perhaps you're part of the prayer team, you could move out. Make yourself available to pray. If you like to stand, you can stand. If you want to stay seated, if you want to kneel, you can do that. If you want to come and ask for prayer, please do. But particularly if you want to receive. Or if you've already stood, you can come and ask for prayer. If you haven't stood, you can come and ask for prayer. And I'm just going to pray for us as we start this time. It might be the Lord gives you something for us as a body, word, picture. You come and share that with myself and Becky at the front. Lord, I pray as we just wait on you. Lord, you come and bring streams of living water that we could drink from and that might overflow. Lord, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Lord, I pray for those of us who've been drinking in the wrong places. Lord, help us turn back to you. Help us repent. That might be the prayer you need to bring today to God. God, I'm sorry. And then, as you've prayed that prayer, go and ask for prayer to be filled. I know I'm going to ask. Let's seek him together.